Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Professor Mackinder, International Relations, to comment on the news of the week between the Kremlin and Washington. It turns on a series of remarks by the White House press speaker and the President of the United States commenting to the President of Russia and vice versa about an incident. We begin with the announcement from The Guardian, an arbiter, somewhat in between, maybe not an honest broker, but it is London. Joe Biden's call with Russian President Vladimir Putin came 1 week after the affiliates of the Russian hacker group Revil, R-E-V-I-L, took responsibility for a ransomware attack. Speaking at her daily press conference, Jen Psaki, the White House speaker, described the call between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin as an example of, quote, leader-to-leader diplomacy. The press secretary added that the U.S. and Russia are involved in, quote, ongoing diplomatic engagement to address the threat of cyber attacks. The speaker, John Psaki, said the call between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin lasted about an hour as the two leaders discussed recent ransomware attacks. Reporters repeatedly asked the White House press secretary what Putin said in response to Biden's demands that he take action against hackers in Russia. The White House speaker replied that she would not read out any of Putin's comments. She would leave that matter to the Kremlin. Professor, a very good evening to you.
Good evening.
The part of these announcements, this is the Guardian newspaper, so I'm saying that the language wasn't too loaded. The part of these announcements that I most took to heart, reporters repeatedly asked the White House press secretary about what Putin said in response to Biden's demands that he take action against hackers in Russia. Take action. Take action. For months, for years, take action has been a question about the Kremlin. I'm looking at this from the Kremlin point of view. We pummeled the United States one more time, and nothing happened. Good evening, Professor.
Good evening. Well, the thing that strikes me about this is that how could Biden and Putin talk for an hour about the ransomware attacks, because Putin knows exactly where they're coming from. I mean, he's a former counterintelligence officer. He knows what's going on. He's behind this because it is to the advantage of Russia to make the United States administration understand that it's basically impotent to do anything. So they must have talked about other things, too. As for the idea that this is statesman-to-statesman diplomacy, or that the United States is somehow being firm, this is just an attempt to frost a cake that hasn't been baked yet.
My concern, Professor, is that the American people are ignoring this. That's all right. But they're ignoring it in the way we've seen earlier epics in Russian-American history. And at the end of the Cold War, the presumption in the United States and Washington was the Soviets were beaten. They would become dutiful members of the international community and obey the United States and something called the international community. That is not happening. Vladimir Putin has a vision. The vision is to restore the Russian Empire, once called the Soviet Empire. He is making very large steps in that direction. Ukraine, Crimea is one of them. The threats along the Baltic state frontier. The acquisition completely of Belarus. And at this point, what we know about cyber attacks is that Russia is licensing villains in order to plunder the United States to remind us, for very low cost of the Kremlin, that we're weak and yes. can't defend ourselves.
Well, I think that this, I think that's a fair description. The only place that I would qualify what you've said is that I think that Russia is in a position to cause relatively small-scale trouble all around her border as she seeks to restore the old Soviet Russian Empire. She's also in a position to prevent the United States from doing much, but she is not in a position actually to restore that. The loss of Central Asia and now the threat to the stability, not just of Central Asia, but really its 360-degree threat emanating from Afghanistan, is something that Russia cannot control. And it adds another complication. There's another ulcer now on the southern border of Russia. Although Crimea has been annexed, Ukraine is still there. It's a country about the same size as Afghanistan, and the Black Sea, which used to be essentially a Russian lake, is now host to 30 foreign navies on something called Operation Sea Breeze. So on a small scale, and a scale that could trigger problems, Putin can do things. But he doesn't have a vision of where he wants to take Russia. He plays a kind of junk game. He's scoring points. But cyber attacks are not going to redraw the map of the world. I think what we have to look at is whether we in the United States have thought through what our Russian policy is going to be. And it's obvious to me, is that from the fact that these two people could talk on the phone for an hour, and that the press secretary can't even say, and Putin expressed his grave concern and said he would do all in his power to try to bring a halt to that. I mean, he could have lied and said that, and that would have given us something. He wouldn't even do that. Shows that he figures that the current administration in the United States is powerless. We see this, actually, Afghanistan, the sudden withdrawal. Having been in Afghanistan for almost 20 years, we suddenly withdraw. And we withdraw so fast that we leave all kinds of weapons, unopened boxes of ammunition, God knows what, there, in a way that I have heard professional military officers describe as just shameful. Now, Afghanistan is an absolutely key country. It's there, Pakistan on one side, Iran on the other, and then what used to be Soviet Central Asia, which is now Muslim Central Asia, the stands, and particularly Tajikistan, but also Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and so forth, are all there. New Delhi is India is not very far away. China is not very far away. This is a real pivotal place. And Biden doesn't really want to have everything go under, so he has an idea that we can get air bases in Tajikistan or in Uzbekistan, and then if things go wrong, we're going to magically conquer from the air. This is the traditional fantasy of air power theorists that appeals very much to politicians who don't want to do much. And this is added on to the continuing problem in Crimea, and now, as you mentioned, the border with Lithuania, Belarus is having people, their people are escaping into Lithuania, and NATO is going in, or the EU is going in, to reinforce this. Of course, Lithuania is a member of NATO. So, although all of these things show the weakness of the West and the lack of any coordinated idea of where we want to go, there are also very grave vulnerabilities for Mr. Putin. As they're ulcers. They're draining as well as being gay. I mean, Belarus, for instance, you say he owns it completely, but Belarus is a losing proposition. The Kremlin has to pump money into it to keep it going.
I do not refute your remarks, Professor. I add, in addition, some details. The Kremlin tells us they have 6,000 Russian military personnel in Tajikistan right now to provide security along the frontier because more than 1,000 Afghanistan soldiers have fled from the fighting with the Taliban in Tajikistan. Also, having visited Central Asia these last several years, these are countries emerging from the Soviet boot who look to unite with the U.S. and China to become part of prosperity into the future. The Great Silk Road would travel through Central Asia. However, that requires security. And Afghanistan, in the hands of the Taliban, is the opposite of security. So, you're in Tashkent. Your job is to provide security for your people. However, are you going to look to Washington that just abandoned Kabul? Or are you going to look to Moscow that's basing soldiers in Tajikistan? What is your choice, Professor?
Well, I think that, in fact, neither power is capable of doing this. I think we're going to see the emergence of the surfacing of slightly smaller powers. Turkey, Pakistan, and Qatar have been involved one way or another with the Taliban. We know that the Turks want to take over Kabul Airport. And we know also that the Turks are developing a higher degree of resonance. Remember, this is all what used to be called Turkestan. These folks, most of them, not all of them, but most of them can understand each other when they talk. So I think that the best hope for security is to try not to get involved with the great powers. However, I note that on the same day, or very near the same day, that the president of Ukraine is coming to Washington, and God knows what he and Biden are going to talk about, the foreign minister of China is going to Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan. So we've got many cooks, and this is a part of the world that is a sort of a, you might say it's a kind of a detonation point. If you look at where it is on the map and you draw an arrow in almost any direction, you come very quickly to something important. I was thinking today it's the kind of northeast fuse even for the Middle East.
Finally, back to cyber attacks and in just our closing remarks. There is no information here that these cyber attacks will stop, that ransomware will suddenly come to a halt. Does that in any way indicate that the Biden administration has no plan, is waiting for a plan? Can we tell? Can we guess?
I don't think, how to put it politely, I don't think we really know what we're doing. No one who is experienced and tempered and sort of instinctively understands the dynamics of this area is to be found in the administration. And therefore, our policy is going to be one of talk.
Professor Mackinder, H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, commenting on the conversation between President Biden and President Putin over a ransomware attack. I'm John Batchelor.
data privacy. Hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy, with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.